The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage. The following special presentation of St. Peter the Rock Media is about an initiative of young people called the Culture Project and why it's coming to the Diocese of Cleveland. Before we hear more, Bishop Nelson Perez wants you to know why he is giving the Culture Project his support.
In our culture today, there are no shortage of voices suggesting one message or another. But there is a great need for direction that ensures our human dignity and embraces a culture of holiness. That is why I have invited the Culture Project to Northeast Ohio. I am thrilled that the Culture Project missionaries are coming to Northeast Ohio. I invite you to welcome them into the diocese and into our parishes and schools. Working together, we can do so much to build a culture of life that really brings forth the goodness, dignity, and tremendous worth of every person. God bless you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special program here on AM 1260 The Rock. We're glad you're with us. Our program today is about something called the Culture Project, and obviously for the next half hour, we'll be talking more about that. I'm Dick Russ, your host, and we're going to be learning about what's called the Culture Project from our special guest, Joel Feldpausch. Joel comes to us as a recruitment officer for the Midwest region for the Culture Project. We want to welcome you to Cleveland Catholic Radio. Joel, AM 1260 The Rock, glad to have you in studio with
us. Glad to be here, Dick. Thank you.
All right, so the Culture Project is an organization, it's a ministry, it's an outreach that is now coming to the Cleveland Diocese and to the Northeast Ohio area. I guess we could say that, right?
Absolutely.
In a few words, what is the Culture Project?
It's another one of those incredible apostolates that has popped up in the last 20 years. Ours is only 5 years old. Young people, fresh out of college, want to give up a year of their life to tell young people, mostly 7th through 12th grade, their dignity, their worth, how it stems from being made in the image and likeness of God and from nothing else, and reminding them that the call to chastity that we see in Scripture all the way through 2019 in the papacies, and especially the beautiful writings of John Paul II, that it is a life worth living. And I think it's St. Augustine who says, the greatest adventure is falling deeper in love with God. And that's what we want young people to know.
And it's known as the Culture Project. And everything you have said here, Joel, is in our society today, countercultural.
Amen.
It really has become that. And Amen. So you have taken on a really, really tough task.
The culture is probably the biggest project that us Catholics will be working on for, and have been for 2,000 plus years, to be part of an organization that said, you know what, this culture is worth working on. Let's start a project. I guess the name was pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think most people would believe now that they have no one still around that has lived in previous centuries except the very last. But the allure and the seduction even of our postmodern culture here in the early part of the 21st century can be utterly and absolutely overwhelming to people in that age range
Amen.
That you have said, you know, 7th grade through high school and into university and now post-university. Virtually anyone in their teens, 20s, even 30s has observed and been part of this postmodern culture and all the stresses and all the temptations that go with it, yourself included.
Amen. You know? I was talking to a great priest friend yesterday. He said every generation looks at the generations below them and thinks the world is coming to an end. So this is nothing new, but we are seeing, especially in the 21st century, a new wave of attack on youth through electronic devices, social media, unlimited access to this pornographic revolution that began with the 1960s and 1970s, and it's shocking to see the brains of young people nowadays and their inability to critically think, their inability to spend time alone, spend time in silence. And so we really just want to go in and be a breath of fresh air in the classroom, in the parish, and really remind them whose they are so that they can traverse this tumultuous time in their lives with God by their side.
I was introduced to the Culture Project a couple months ago through our colleagues at the Diocese of Cleveland, which has invited you to come into Northeast Ohio and to have the Culture Project presented. And we're going to be talking with soon a representative from the diocese here with us. But it struck me as something very worthwhile, very necessary. And so I did my own research, you know, to try to find out a little more. And what really struck me, Joel, is that I went on to your website, thecultureproject.org, and there was one paragraph in there that kind of summarized it for me. And, you know, obviously every generation, every age has its cultural nuances and its temptations and its things that lead people away from truth, beauty, and goodness. Here, listen, you may have written this or one of your colleagues. A sext sent on a whim, an eating disorder that escalates into a hospital visit. A hookup with someone that's not even lunch date material. A secret abortion to save a college career. A sex addiction to escape the emptiness of everyday life. All of that happens everywhere in the Western culture, every hour of every day. Wow, have you got a job in front of you? So you're talking to young people bombarded with this, or maybe in some cases taking part to some degree.
Absolutely.
In something like this, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, where do you start? Tell us the organization of the Culture Project and how you begin to get ready to tell young people, hey, there's another way, there's a better way. How does that work?
I think it's much like Christ when he casually walked through a wall and told the apostles, peace be with you. And in their disbelief, I think I heard a great reflection on doubting Thomas, and we see those in the classrooms all the time. And part of him was doubting that the Lord would be resurrected with the wounds visible. It didn't make sense for the resurrected Lord in his redeemed body to have his wounds. But that's how we start in the classroom. Our missionaries go in understanding that it's not in spite of their wounds that they're loved or that they've been given this opportunity as a missionary, but it's because of them. So we really empower those in the classroom, and we experienced this. I think my greatest compliment I've received was actually from an 88-year-old woman after one of my presentations saying, I've never heard someone talk about life the way you have in my 88 years. Because we go in and we share that it's through our wounds that we heal others. And that's step number one, is letting people know, letting young people know, you don't have to be perfect. This world that wants you to put up these facades and all of these walls is a world that doesn't authentically love you and have your best interests in mind. Christ sees you for who you are. We see you for who you are. And we want you to know that you are loved exactly where you're at.
So these are presentations in a classroom.
Yes.
Right?
And yep.
You've been invited here to the Diocese of Cleveland. And so what, schools and organizations can call upon you to and talk to you to see if you can come in and talk to their people? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Now, our model really combines the mountaintop experience of a presentation with a discipleship model of coming down the mountain. We will give presentations, sure, but we'll also come back and just hang out. Literally, we call them lunch encounters. That could be at a school. That could be at a youth group. I was just speaking to someone at a parish earlier who has Sunday night open gyms with their students, with a meal and some fellowship. That's a perfect Culture Project night, because we want to come in and encounter the students one-on-one in addition to just standing in front of them and preaching truth. So the encounter aspect of our ministry is critical, because people need to know, especially young people, we aren't going to come in and speak at you and then leave. We are here to invest in your life, and we are seed planters, but occasionally the Lord will give us a glimpse of how that encounter throughout the entire school year has changed a life right before our eyes.
And you've done those presentations.
Absolutely.
Joel. Okay, we're going to talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to a special program here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, about something called the Culture Project, which is a relatively new, about five-year-old missionary outreach to younger people to tell them that there's a better way than the lures of our current postmodern culture. They've been invited by the Diocese of Cleveland to come in here, and we're happy to partner with them here at The Rock to try to get the word out about what this is about. We'll return with Joel Feldpausch and We'll also be joined by Brooke Uihlein of the Diocese of Cleveland when we come back right after this quick break. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everyone, to our special program about the Culture Project here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and with me in the studio of The Rock is Joel Feldposch and Brooke Uihlein. Brooke is with the Diocese of Cleveland. Joel is the Midwest Recruitment Officer for the Culture Project. So you're the recruitment officer, Joel. Who do you recruit, and what do these recruits do? That's a very interesting part of the Culture Project.
Yeah, I think it's the classic missionary experience where if anyone who's ever been on a mission trip, you go down and you serve the poor or the destitute, and you come back feeling more fulfilled than they were.
Those are very big here in Northeast Ohio. You're from
God.
From Michigan, right?
Yeah. Well, everyone just turned off their radio. But yes, that's where I'm from.
You're from the state up north, but not those cities.
Anyway, yes, exactly.
Yeah, they're very big here. Mission trips in high school and in parishes, universities.
Yeah.
Very, very fertile ground here. But
so I ask college students when they are graduated, some young professionals, we've certainly had those. I was a young professional applicant, but we ask them if they're willing to give up 1 year of their life. It's a unique organization that just asks for 1 year. A lot of missionary organizations ask for two, but we ask for one, hoping that in their courage, they will seek the Lord's will through a mission year. And what we invite them to is certainly to be a witness to young people. What they end up getting is 8 weeks of incredible formation from people who have studied these things and can bring us the truth, whether it be pro-life apologetics, pro-life storytelling, whether it be the pornography epidemic, whether it be LGBTQ issues, gender dysphoria. We receive incredible formation and from experts all over the field.
Is this formation for 8 weeks done locally in your hometown, or do you go somewhere?
We go 6 weeks in the fall. We go to Long Island, Seminary of the Immaculate Conception. And then 2 weeks in June, we go to St. Vincent College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and receive formation from the Benedictine monks there. But then also, this organization requests and requires a daily Mass and Holy Hour. So I'm trying to get people to sacrifice an hour of their day for a full year for our Lord. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle because committing is something that young people are allergic to nowadays, myself included. We don't like to commit to things, and we don't like to lay down our lives for the unknown. But those who have joined a really special family. And so we're still looking, actually, this year for two male missionaries, which is tough to come down, this close to the wire, but the Lord will provide. And I think a lot of organizations are struggling to hire men in particular right now. There really is a crisis of toxic masculinity. And so I try to go to college campuses and set a challenge that men and women are courageous enough to answer.
How many people do you need in a year?
So we have five per team, and this year we're expanding into four dioceses. So we have 20 missionaries. We have 18 because we need those two. But and then our staff is about the same size, 12 to 15 people. So missionaries, because it's only a one-year commitment, we're refueling a lot. And so every year we hire between 8 and 20 missionaries, and we just hired our biggest class ever.
So if you are from a particular city, you receive your formation. Do you go back to your home city where your parishes are, or do you go somewhere else? Where
you're sent out.
Sent out.
Much like the disciples.
Okay, I'm from Cleveland and I have the training and I sign up, I might be sent to another city.
You might be sent to another city.
And what happens there? I live in a house, in a community. What's the deal with
community
that,
living? So we will sometimes cut an old rectory in half. Sometimes we'll have housing separate. But we live in community because community next to prayer is the most important aspect of our organization. We are formed in human love, how to handle conflict with one another, how to love one another the way that Christ loves. And we learn a lot about ourselves. We learn a lot about our selfishness and our pride. But you would sign up and you'd get a few months at home over the summer to do your support raising. And then you would go to fall training and be sent out from there. So we have teams in L.A., San Francisco, Toledo, and now Cleveland.
Brooke Uihlein is with us. Brooke's with the Diocese of Cleveland, and Brooke's one of the first people that introduced me to the Culture Project. Obviously, when you and Bishop Perez and the rest of the team of the diocese took a look at this, you must have been impressed by something. Found a need and then thought this could fill a need.
Yeah, definitely. Cleveland, our diocese, all eight counties, we're just so excited to be able to share this ministry and bring these young people. Any of the listeners out there and you yourself who've heard Bishop Perez's homilies over the past year, year and a half, he talks a lot about our encounter and our encounter with Christ. And I think one of the things that sort of sent this down the pipeline is that the Culture Projects offers or will offer students in our diocese, whether they're in parish youth ministry teams or at their high school theology class, they're going to offer that encounter with their missionaries who are, as Joel talked about, living witnesses and demonstrating that counterculture virtue. And I think that was one of the most appealing things for us working in the diocese when Bishop brought it to us. And Joel, if you wouldn't mind just touching on sort of that top-down approach and how Bishop came encountered with you guys.
Yeah, it's really special, Dick. When we enter into a diocese, it's not necessarily because all the schools and parishes want us, but it's because the bishop has had an encounter with the organization, has seen the wounds of his flock, and chooses to shepherd them toward bringing the Culture Project in. So every diocese that we are in, it's because the top dog in the diocese, the bishop, the descendant of the apostles, has invited us in. And that's when it's really up to the schools and parishes at that point then to invite us, because we are free for the schools and parishes to invite us in. It's just up to them how much we work.
Yeah, while we have Brooke here, our listeners, we would hope would remind their parishes, remind their pastors or staff or whatever that, hey, I heard this. Have you heard about it? Obviously, you've been in touch with the
right.
parishes and so on. What can people listening do? Is there somewhere they can look for more information or inform themselves? Because everybody's got kids, grandkids, someone in their life, they go, oh my gosh, when I turn this person loose into this toxic culture, what's going to happen to them? Everybody worries about that.
Yeah. And you know, just to touch on that a little bit too, I think one of the main points here is that every community, every suburb, every parish, every school is different in the sense of their demographics, where they're located regionally. This team will come and provide messaging and provide ministry across the board. It doesn't matter if you're a robust youth ministry team or smaller high school entering, you know, your freshman year. This kind of helps bring everyone and allow everyone to experience this ministry. dioceseofcleveland.org/cultureproject is how anyone can find any information, whether it's, you know, you want to share it with your son or daughter who are maybe raising teenagers in their household. If you're, you know, a parish minister, lay or clergy, and you want to schedule a presentation, you can find all of that there. There's multiple videos that are both local to our diocese and then also provided by the Culture Project that really highlights and showcases their work from across the country. All really great tools, and I really encourage anyone to take the time. Again, dioceseofcleveland.org/cultureproject.
You're listening to a special program here on AM 1260 The Rock about the Culture Project, which is, as you've been hearing, has been invited into the Diocese of Cleveland by our bishop. We'll return with a little more discussion. Joel, when we come back, I'd like to ask you about some of the good effects that you have seen since you've made these presentations for the last 5 years, when we return right here on AM 1260 The Rock. Welcome back to our special program about something called the Culture Project, which is a ministry, an outreach, a missionary effort, really, to reach young people in the Diocese of Cleveland and to demonstrate to them that there is a better way than the popular culture may be showing them, teaching them, and leading them individually and collectively. Joel Feldposch is with us. He's one of the people that's been with the Culture Project for a while. Joel's originally from Michigan. He's making a couple stops here in Cleveland to help the Diocese of Cleveland begin to integrate this program into schools and organizations here. Joel, the project's been around about 5 years, right? You've spoken to, what is it, something like 30,000 young people?
Yeah, in the 5 years, yeah, 30,000 a year, because it's 147,000
total. Yeah, that's very impressive. Yeah. So tell me that you've reached somebody.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about it. It's out there. Everywhere you turn, you know, it's like garbage. You were telling me that more than 50% of kids today have sexted. I mean, that used to be like a weird aberration of life, and now it's a way of life.
Absolutely.
So tell me it's working.
Yeah, I'm excited to drop some exciting truth and just some consolation, because we face a lot of desolation. We're seed planters. So oftentimes we will present in a classroom and we'll never know the effect that we had. But there have been a few opportunities to see a person's life change either on the spot or later that year. And a couple of the stories that I want to share have to do with us reaping the benefits. And one has to do with sexting, which is so common. For all you parents out there, if your kids have the app Snapchat, that's something that they should not have. That's an app that was designed to make sexual promiscuity much more casual. And the Discover tab on the Snapchat is frequently filled with pornographic material. So just a heads up there. But we run into people using Snapchat for the wrong reasons. And in a particular high school, we had a young man come forward after a couple of our presentations and finally tell the chaplain at the high school that a group of senior men had actually been collecting photos, inappropriate photos of their classmates, and using them for blackmail and just creating a stash. And the plan from the girl side, when they found out about this, was, which they had found out, you know, weeks before, they were aware of the situation, they were going to vengefully retaliate at a senior retreat. Well, the chaplain got word of it, pulled them aside before the retreat, and they really addressed it, thanks to the Culture Project bringing this to the young man's attention and his bravery bringing it to the chaplain. On the senior retreat, the guys asked for forgiveness, and the girls were able to forgive them one at a time, and there was real healing there. And that was a school that had invited us plenty of times, enough times that we were able to be persistent with our message. The young man eventually realized that this is what the girls in his class deserved. You know, this culture has broken down the front door into the homes of great families all across the world through electronic devices, TVs, tablets, iPhones, smartphones of any type. And the Culture Project really goes in the back door. And instead of, you know, beating them over the head with a Bible, we talk about what they really yearn for. And I think the other great story,
that's the key, isn't it?
Oh my
gosh. I
mean,
everybody doing any of this stuff, whether you're young or old, it's to fill an emptiness.
Yeah.
It's to find your place, to give yourself an identity, or you know, and that's really at the core of it.
Yeah, they just want to be known, they want to be seen, and they want to be loved. And the Culture Project, we've experienced on a couple occasions, and the story I'll share is one of my female teammates was able to tell a group of girls for the first time, you know, how beautiful they are. And she had no ulterior motives. It's just, I'm going to tell you that you're beautiful because I just feel the Lord wants you to know how beautiful you are. And one of the girls afterwards said, yeah, you know, I never had anyone tell me that before without wanting something. And I just feel like I'm called to change my life. And we actually went back to that school 6 months later, and she had broken up with her boyfriend, who was emotionally abusive. She had started playing a sport that she really, really loved, and her coach noticed a joy about her. And so she excitedly came up to my teammate and said, I have just discovered a new love and relationship with God the Father, and my coach has noticed a difference. My friends notice a difference. People, when they feel seen, when these young people feel seen, it really compels them to a different life. And fortunately, we are able to see some of those lives change. But for us to be able to witness to what is truth, which is that these young people are so loved by God, and this culture wants to steal from them their uniqueness. I mean, you look at a lot of colleges and universities nowadays, they're all the same. It's all a bunch of young people embracing the hookup culture, embracing gender fluidity, thinking that they're all being unique. They're all the same. They're losing their uniqueness because they're not looking in the mirror and seeing the image and likeness of God. So when we're able to counter that by telling them how incredible they are with no ulterior motive, just want to tell you how loved you are, they transform. And sometimes that's right in front of our eyes.
Very powerful and important message. And Joel, we thank you for stopping in to be with us today to talk about the Culture Project. That's what this special program has been all about. We also want to thank Brooke Uhlein from the Diocese of Cleveland for stopping in.
Thank you so much.
So the Culture Project is something aimed at young people to try to show them the better way, if you will, and that they can be loved and they can be unique and they can be who they are supposed to be, even in the midst of all this societal and peer pressure and that sort of thing. And you can take advantage of it. All of our listeners, what I'd like you to do is do two things. Go to dioceseofcleveland.org/cultureproject. That'll talk to you about the local iteration and how that's working in the Diocese of Cleveland. And also visit thecultureproject.org, which will give you a wealth of information about what these young folks are about and what they're trying to do. Joel Feldpausch and Brooke, thanks so much. Thank you very much, most of all, for listening. Again, theCultureProject.org and dioceseofcleveland.org/cultureproject. Do that. Let us know. Send us an email here at The Rock to tell us what you're thinking and what your impressions are about this unique and for the last 5 years, growingly successful effort to reach our young people. I'm Dick Russ, your host. Thanks for joining us today here on this special program on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.